As you bless me this evening, you are going to pray. Commit yourself into the hands of God. Pastor, please.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful. We thank you for the wonderful testimony of God's visitation upon his people. Thank you for great things you have done. Thank you for greater things you will do. Lord, as we want to listen to your word tonight, give us grace to be useful. We don't want to be useless in your house. But Lord, give us that zeal, that courage, that willingness to be useful in your hands, in Jesus' name. We pray you bless us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We bless the name of the Lord for bringing us together tonight. And tonight, by the special grace of God, we are looking at important message. All the messages are very important, but this is super important because this is the heartbeat of Almighty God. And from the Old Testament, the Lord has been emphasizing what we want to discuss tonight. It's not something that just started in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God is after soul. In the New Testament, God is after soul. Until the Lord Jesus Christ will come, that we all will go back home, the Lord will be emphasizing his heartbeat, which is winning soul for him. So tonight we are looking at all out for soul, all out for soul. When we talk about soul, we are talking about human being, you and I, and the people around us, our neighbor, our children, our parents, our aunts, our nephew, our uncles. We are talking about human being. This human being we are talking about, we have soul, and this soul is undying. Though we die physically, our soul will appear before the Lord for judgment. And the Lord said, it's good for us to rescue as many as possible that we can rescue in this part of the world. I read from the book of Peter, chapter 3, verse 20. The story in the book of Peter, chapter 3, verse 20, happened in the Old Testament. But Apostle Peter, by the Spirit of God, captured it in the New Testament. We sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. You can imagine, what is the population of the people at this time? There were many, but only eight souls were saved by the grace of God. And God continued with the eight souls that were saved. What happened to others? They perished. They perished. They couldn't make it. They missed the kingdom of God. They missed entering into heaven. And that is why we need to take this work of evangelism serious. In Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18 to 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. We need power to witness. We need power to preach the gospel. We need power to bring men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord commissioned us. He said, go. We need to leave our comfort zone to go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Lord knows that the terrain may be difficult, but the Lord has given us confidence that he's with us. The Lord knows that there may be challenges, persecution, trial, trouble, mockery, jesting, but the Lord said, he is with us till the end. All souls belong to God. And this salient was established in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, and the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. The soul of the husband is mine. The soul of the wife is mine. The soul of daughter and sons is mine. Also, that sinneth, they shall die. That's consequence for sin. And to prevent people not to die eternally, we need to run after them. We need to be all out for them to save them. When we talk about all out for soul, what are we talking about tonight? All out for souls means all the children of God, those that are born again, those that have given their life to Christ, those that are washed in the blood without exception. Either you are a youth, either you are a child, but you have reached the age of accountability. And you know the difference between the will of sin and the will of life. And you have given your life to Christ. You run after souls to save them. No wolf should be left behind. There's nobody that should be dragging feet. There's nobody that is not showing interest. There's nobody that is saying no to this golden call of God Almighty. It indicates the commitment of the children of God to preach without discrimination, no tribal segregation. We are not saying that they are white and because they don't understand our culture and because they don't understand what they will not understand what we'll be telling them, we will not reach out to them. No tribal segregation and no status preference. Not say that this one is rich, this one is popular, and this one is a salesman. Because of that, we will not be able to reach them. The Lord said, we should be all out for soul. We should follow all means to preach to them, to bring them to the knowledge of truth. Believers that are out for souls are prompt in their obedience to God. It's not something that we are postponing. It's not something that we are procrastinating. We need to be prompt to the obedience to God's commandment to win soul. But the reluctant and the procrastinating believer are not out for soul. All the people that are procrastinating and will do it by and by, all the people that are postponing the preaching of the gospel, they are not part of all the people that are out for soul that we are talking about today. We are going to look at challenges for believers today. Number one is misplaced priority. When it comes to soul winning, when we misplace our priority, we will not be able to preach the gospel. In John chapter 21, John chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Apostle Peter happened to be a leader. He happened to be an influencer, somebody that people follow and people believe and people cling to. And immediately he said, I go a fishing. There was no single one among the apostles with him that resists his move to go a fishing. And all of them follow him in the wrong direction. The Lord said, we should not misplace our priority. We should be a good example in preaching the gospel, in winning soul for Christ, in bringing men and women unto the Lord. In the book of John chapter 4, verse 35, we are going to see another characteristic there, which is procrastination. Procrastination that is the thief of time. In John chapter 4, I'm reading for verse 35. John chapter 4, verse 35. Say not ye, brothers and sisters. The Lord says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. The Lord is talking to us. We should not assume and be saying that we still have a lot of years. We still have a lot of months. We will do it by and by. The Lord said, it's now. If there's any time we need to preach the gospel, it is now. If there's any time we need to run after them, if there's any time we need to chase them, it is now. In Acts of Apostles, chapter 23, verse 11. Acts of Apostles, chapter 23, verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. The Lord know that despite the anointing upon Paul, despite the grace of God upon his life, He has his own downtime. He has his own discouraging time. And the Lord appeared to him because of what he has went through, what he has experienced. The Lord told him he should cheer up because he has a lot of people for him to preach to. So we should not be discouraged in preaching the gospel. We are thinking that we go every month from city to city, and we are thinking that we don't see the fruit. We don't see the people that are giving their life to Christ that will be surprised in heaven. You don't know the person that have taken the trash from you, that even throw it down, another person that you don't reach at all will pick the trash. He will read the trash and he will become born again. Many of them will tell you and squeeze the trash and put it in their pocket, and by the Spirit of God will touch them and they will read it. So we should not be discouraged. Like Paul, the Lord is encouraging us tonight that all our labor is not in vain. Moving from city to city, buying fuel into the car, paying for train, paying for bus from your pocket, the Lord did not forget. He's going to reward you in the due time. You are not wasting time, but you are investing in the kingdom of God. You are not missing it. You are getting it because God will save those souls at the appointed time, and it will make all things right. In Psalm 4 verse 2, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after listening? Selah. The Lord said we should pay attention to this word, that we should not turn the glory of the Lord, the preaching the gospel, into shame. We should not be ashamed to be identified with the people that are moving in the streets, that raining is beating, that sunshine is beating, that are preaching the gospel. We should not be ashamed of preaching the gospel. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as lion. If we lack boldness, we will not preach the gospel. If we lack boldness, we will not be able to reach to other fellow human beings. And don't forget, they are undying souls. They are undying souls. And because they are undying souls, we need to preach unto them. We need to be bold. Some of them wear lion faces. We need to be bold and approach them because the Spirit of God dwelleth in us, and preach the gospel to them. In Acts of Apostles, we saw false assurance of having what we are here to get. Some people, they are not born again and they want to preach the gospel. That cannot work. Some people, they are not born again, they want to pray the prayer of deliverance for another person. That cannot work. We need to take it step by step. We also must be born again so that the message can be sweet in our mouth to preach to the other people. In Acts of Apostles chapter 19, in verse 13 to 17, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had an evil spirit the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, we whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. The chief of the priests, which did so. Their parents, they are priests, but they are vagabond. They are exorcists. And they want to use the name of Jesus that they did not know to deliver the demon-possessed person. That cannot work. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Brethren, for you not to sustain injury in the field of evangelism, you must be sure of your salvation. You must be sure that God has really, really helped you to be free from sin, to be free from unrighteousness, so that the accuser of the brethren will not accuse you, and the accusing of the brethren will not have a space to operate in your life, to torture your life. Another thing is ignorance. In Acts of Apostles chapter 19, verse 1 to 12, ignorance. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper Corinth, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said unto them,
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And Apostle Paul ministered to them. He laid his hand upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Because Apostle Paul knew that they were ignorant of the power of God to witness the soul. We need the power of Holy Ghost in our life to be effective in the field of winning the soul. And as we call upon the name of the Lord tonight, the Spirit of God will fall upon us, and the Lord will kindle the fire of Holy Ghost in us to preach the gospel, to witness in Jesus' name. We need to save, we need to win and gain more souls for Christ. We will look at the message under three subheadings. And number one, we are looking at why ask for soul. That is a question we need to ask ourselves tonight. Why should we preach the gospel? Why should we run after them? Why should we persuade them? Why should we compare them? Why should we plead with them? Why should we encourage them to forsake their sin and to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? That is what we want to look at. For you to know why we need to do it, we help you to know how to do it. And as we know the reason why we need to do it, the Lord will empower us tonight to do it effectively in the name of Jesus Christ. When you talk of usefulness, the other side is uselessness. I pray that we will not be useless in the house of the Lord, but the Lord will help us to be useful for him and for his glory in Jesus' name. In Mark chapter 8, I'm reading verses 36 to 38. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 to 38. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Don't forget that we are talking about soul tonight. When a man lost his soul, what shall he give in exchange for his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. When the Lord comes, the only thing that matters is the souls that we win for him. Our certificates will not matter anymore. The marriage will not matter anymore. And our achievements, the number of building of houses, the number of cars, the number of investments we have, will not matter anymore. The only thing that matter when the Lord comes is the souls that we have won for him. And that is why the Lord is reminding us tonight that what shall it profit a soul if he gain the whole world? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lost his soul? We shall be able to help souls if we see them the way God sees them. God characterizes men's soul as having eyes full of adultery. This is how the Lord describes a sinner. They have eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. That is why we need to run after them. They cannot cease from sin. They are helpless to cease from sin. They are powerless to be free from sin. That is why we need to run after them. Not only that they are sinful, but they are bringing other people into their error, into their sin, beguiling unstable soul. And as they have exercised with confessions, practices, caused children. The Lord said, for this unstable soul, for this careless soul, they are cursed. The curses of the Lord is upon them. We need to be all out for soul because of time of life cannot be played back. My brother and my sister, as we are moving from year to year, we cannot play those years back. If you came to Finland 5 years ago, you cannot play that 5 years back. My brother and my sister, it has become a story. It's gone forever. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. We Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. That's a set time in life. I pray that we will not miss our set time for preaching the gospel in Jesus' name. A time is coming that preaching the gospel will not be necessary. When the rapture takes place, there will not be need to preach the gospel anymore. When we have lived this world and we have gone to heaven, there will not be need for us to preach anymore. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 10, Genesis 18, verse 10, and it said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son, and Sarah had it in the tenth door, which was beyond it. That's a time of life. That's a set time. And the time of life cannot play back. As it's going forever. Why do we need to be out for soul? Because Satan's time is short, and our own time is short. Satan's time is short, and our own time also is short. Let us go to Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, you will see the reason why we need to act for soul. Satan is angry. He wants to push as many into hell. He wants to take as many souls along with him to hell. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heaven. There was joy in heaven, and there was war on earth. There was curses on earth. Why? Because Satan has gone into them, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. The time of Satan is very short. And that is why you will be hearing the news of accidents, crashes, trouble, war, pandemic. He wants to destroy as many as possible. He wants to take as many as possible along with him. The time of life is very short. Let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we are reading verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Brethren, our time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Because the time is short, we need to be out for souls. We need to run after soul. And in Psalm 89, open your Bible to the book of Psalm 89. Our time is short. Satan's time is short. And Satan is full of wrath and is killing people, sending people to hell before their time. In Psalm 89, I read verse 47a. In Psalm 89, verse 47a, remember how short my time is. Brethren, did you remember how short your time is? Did you have that thought? Do you have that reflection? How short your time is? Do you know that our time is very short? We shall not be here forever. That is another reason why we need to be out for souls. We shall not be here forever. You will not be in this world forever. I will not be in this world forever. In Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be fourscore, that is 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Brethren, we shall fly away very soon. And that is why we need to be out for soul. We need to be out for soul because souls are dying. Souls are perishing. In Isaiah chapter 5, open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 5. Souls are dying. They are perishing. It's not a joke at all. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. You will see what the Lord preserved for you and what the Lord preserved for me here. For us to know that it is very urgent to run after soul. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Brethren, hell cannot be full. Hell cannot be full. Hell cannot be full. That is why we need to run after these souls. We need to rescue them that more people did not sleep into hell. It is open, enlarging herself without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. All the wealth of life, all the accumulation of certificates, all the property, everything, for though that their name is not written in the book of life, they will slip into the hell that never fall. Hell is enlarging herself. Because of this salience, we need to run after soul. It is a part of obedience. When that is why we need to run after soul. Whenever we do it, we are obeying God. We are referencing God. We are giving glory and honor to God because God said we should do it. And if we do it, then we are referencing God and we are giving adoration to the Lord because it is part of obedience. We need to do it. In Matthew that we have read earlier, chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me, heaven and earth. Go. The Lord said, go. It's a command and we need to go. It is a part of wearing a crown. Brethren, we will not be an onlooker in heaven. When we get to heaven, we will have a crown to rejoice with. And if we're going to have a crown, we need to begin to labor in the kingdom now. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Apostle Paul said, not only for him, even you and I, if we love the appearing of the Lord and we are laboring, we are walking towards it, we are preaching the gospel, we also we are going to wear a crown of righteousness. And we wear our crown. No one will take our crown from us in Jesus' name. It is a king business that requires ace. That is what David told the priest. He said, God has the king has sent me an errand. And it is the business of the king that require ace. It is the business of heavenly king, king of kings and lord of lords, and it require ace. We cannot procrastinate and we cannot postpone. It brings joy and fulfillment. Anytime we preach the gospel, there is joy in heaven. Angels are rejoicing. Brethren are rejoicing. The people of the kingdom of God are rejoicing. It bring joy and fulfillment unto us. In Acts of Apostles chapter 5, verse 40 to 42, there is joy in heaven. It creates joy in heaven. It creates joy in heaven in Luke chapter 15, verse 10. It helps to set the captive free. We need to read this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We need to read this. It is very, very important. When we go out to preach the gospel, it is an opportunity to set the captive free. Many are under the bondage and servitude of Satan. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1. So I return and consider all the oppression that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed. These are the sinners. They were oppressed. Satan is oppressing them. Demons are oppressing them. Agents of darkness are oppressing them. And they had no comforter. They did not know the way out of their problem. And on the other side, their oppressor that was power. But they had no comforter. And God is trusting you as a comforter that will take the good news to them and preach to them and liberate them in the name of the Lord. It helps also to bring the sheep that have gone astray to bring them back. All the sheep that have gone astray, they need to come back to the fold. Who are these sheep? We are talking about sheep here. They are the believers that backslidden. They are the believers that compromise. They are the believers that are sliding back like Eva. We need to identify them, not only sinner alone, even though that are in the kingdom and they backslidden, they've turned to sinner. We need to run after them and restore them and bring them back to the kingdom of God. We need to show them the way out of prison of Satan. Show them the way out of bondage of Satan. Show them the way out of confusion of Satan. We need to show them the way out of deception of Satan. As we do this, the Lord will bless us and he will prosper his work in our hand in Jesus' name. We want to quickly look at the second part, working tirelessly for souls. And we are going to look at the people that have gone ahead of us. They work tirelessly for souls of men. And we should not do less because God has given us more. He has poured his grace upon us. He has saved our soul and he has empowered us with the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to do more for him in this part of the world. In Judges chapter 8, verse 4. We will see some of the people that have worked tirelessly. The one case is Gideon, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. he and the 300 men that were with him faint. Look at the word there. They were fainted, faint yet pursuing. Brethren, fainting is not an excuse for us not to go for evangelism. Fainting, discouragement, confusion of life, they are very important, but it's not enough excuse before God not to go for evangelism. I pray that the Lord will grant us this understanding in Jesus' name. We want to look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, we see the people that have gone ahead of us, and we learn from them. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we did not give up all the good things we have been doing, if we did not give up, well, the Lord said we will reap, we will get reward for what we have done in the kingdom of God. Brethren, if you have prayed, you want mountain to move, and you have fasted, you want mountain to move, you have given praises to God, you want mountain to move, and the mountain refuses to move, go for evangelism. Preach the gospel. The Lord will open your way. The Lord will open your path. The Lord will turn your situation around, and you will never remain the same again. The Lord said, if we faint not, there is reward in due season. His visitation will come unto us in due season. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1 to 12. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Joshua was so old. Does God did not know that he was old? God knew, but God has given him exceptional ability. God knows that he can still be useful in the old age as he was useful in the youthful age. And the Lord told him, this is the land that yet remaineth all the borders of the Philistine and all Geshuri, and from Saul, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders unto the borders of Ekron, northward, which counted at the Canaanites, five lords of the Philistine, the Gazatites, and the Ashdodites, the Escalonites, the Gathites, and the Ekronites, also the Ephites. The Lord told him, you see, have a lot of work to do, though you are old, but I see have an assignment for you. I pray that we will not disappoint God with great assignment he has for us, despite our age, despite our experience, despite all what we have done. We are going to look at the case of the apostles, how they worked tirelessly for soul. We have the testimony of those that have worked tirelessly for soul in the past. Apostle Paul, three missionary journey, challenged our reluctance today. He embarked on three missionary journey, and the Bible historian told us that he embarked on 10,000 miles journey, and he established 14 churches within this missionary journey. What a great great achievement. No car, no aeroplane, but they still worked for the Lord, and they did great things for the Lord. He preaches before the eminent and affluent, before controversial religious leader, in prison, in danger to the Jews and the Gentiles. Anywhere you throw Apostle Paul is a blessing in disguise. It turned into an opportunity to preach the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord. In his first missionary journey, in Acts of Apostles chapter 13, verse 1 to 5, and 14, verse 1 to 8, he visited Cyprus, and he visited Pamphylia, he visited Phrygia, Laconia, and returned to Antioch. He was just moving in circles. He sat from one city to the other, and he returned back to Antioch. In his second missionary journey, he went through Laconia, Phrygia, Galatia, Macedonia, Achaia, and returned to Jerusalem. If you look at the first journey and the second journey, you will have some city in common, and you will have some new city that was added to the one that he has not visited before. He was just moving around. As the Lord led him, as the Lord directed him, he was moving around. We see that in Acts of Apostles chapter 16, verse 3 to 4, 7, 10, 16, and 17. In his third missionary journey, he preached in Phrygia and Galatia, Asia, Ephesus and Macedonia, and Greece, Asia, and Troas, and he returned to Jerusalem. In Acts of Apostles chapter 18, verse 23, verse 19, 20, 35, and 21, 4 to 9. What are we learning from Apostle Paul? He made up his mind to not to turn the glory of God to shame. He made up his mind not to waste the grace of God upon his life. He made up his mind to do something for God with the ability and capability the Lord has put on him. And we are reading about him today. One day also we are leaving this world, and people can only be reading about us. They can only be telling about what we have done. Likewise, Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. You know how he met the European Ethiopian eunuch, and he started preaching to him and asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He said, "I don't understand. How can I understand unless somebody interpret to me?" And he started the gospel from there. He went to Samaria also. He preached to those that are in satanic bondage and those that are deceivers. He preached to them in Samaria. He also transferred the preaching anointing to his daughters. His daughters also prophesied and they preached. All the daughters of Philip, they prophesied and they preached the gospel. Peter preached to Cornelius in Acts of Apostles chapter 10. You remember when the Spirit of God showed him the vision and he was led by the Lord. He never relied on his past successes. Apostle Peter did not say, "I've done much for the Lord. I've been with the Lord when he was on earth, and since he has left, I'm still working for him." He did not say that. He obeyed and he went to Cornelius and he preached the gospel to Cornelius. And you can see the miracle of multiplication. The Lord told him to preach to Cornelius alone, but all the household of Cornelius joined him, and multiple of souls came to the kingdom of God, and there was a great joy through the good news that Apostle Peter preached to them on that day. I pray that the Lord Almighty will help us also, that we will have this outstanding testimony in our own time, in Jesus' name. Before we pray tonight, we want to look at winning souls for Christ. How do we go about it? We have been doing it. If we are here to get results, then we need to keep on doing it. There's no way to do it than to keep on doing it. And in due season, the Lord will save those souls. In due season, the Lord will deliver them. In Mark chapter 1, verse 45. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 1, 45. Let us read scriptures before we proceed. In Mark chapter 1. And we are reading verse 45. "But he went out and began to publish it much." This is the man that Jesus healed. And Jesus told him that he should go and appear himself to the priest. But this is what this man did. He cannot bear this fire of miracle of God, of testimony that the Lord has given unto him. He could not keep it to himself. And this is the testimony. "He went out and began to publish it much." They use the word "much" there. It's not a joke. "And to blaze abroad the matter." They use the word "blaze." He blazed the matter. He blazed abroad the matter. Insomuch that Jesus could no more fully enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. This is one man. So if you are alone and you think that you are the only one that is doing it, you should not be discouraged. God can use you, and God can turn your city around where you are living through you. This is single man because he received mercy from the Lord and he received healing from the Lord, and he started preaching about Jesus so much. He placed abroad the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. He talked about it all around. In Acts of Apostles, let us turn our Bible to the book of Acts of Apostles in chapter 4. Turn your Bible to the book of Acts of Apostles chapter 4. And let us see what the Lord has for us in the book of Acts of Apostles chapter 4. I'm reading verse 33. In verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them." If there are some things we need to pray for tonight, we need to pray for great power to preach the gospel, going out, but we need power to penetrate and to break the stronghold of Satan in all the city we are visiting and all the city where we are living. We need the power of God to break So we need great power and we need the great grace upon our life. The great grace will not allow us to be tired. It will not allow us to be weary. We will be going from city to city, and the Lord will be using us greatly and mightily to the deliverance of souls. In Acts of Apostles chapter 5, in verse 18 to 20, verse 18 to 20, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, brethren, let us be realistic. We have been praying for miracle. We have been praying for power, power to heal, power of wisdom, power of discerning spirit. We have been praying for word of knowledge. It can only come through evangelism. All the things that was recorded in the Acts of Apostles, they were great experience for the apostle. And it happened to them while doing the business of their father, while preaching the gospel. And you can see what great thing that happened. The Lord gave them great power to witness. The Lord poured his great grace upon them. The Lord was with them, and the Lord abided with them. And when they put them in the prison, angel visited them and opened the door. If we are going to see exceptional miracles, if we are going to see extraordinary miracles, in our own time, we need to take the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ serious. In verse 28, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man blood upon us. Look at the map of Finland. We need to fill the north. We need to fill the south. We need to fill the east. We need to fill the west with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That the people in those cities will notice it, that we have saturated the city, that we have filled the city with the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to move from region to region and preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the word of God. We saturate the whole country with the word of the Lord. I pray that the Lord will give us strength to accomplish this. I pray that the Lord will give us power to accomplish this. With God, all things are possible. And as we trust God, he will not fail us. And as we are ready, he will be with us as he has promised to the end. And in verse 40 to 42, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostle and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame of his name. And telling in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. This is the effect of the great grace that the Lord has given unto them. They beat them. Instead of crying, instead of mourning, instead of giving up, they were just happy that they were counted worthy to be suffer for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they did not stop preaching. They just moved to another place and they continue to preach there. That is the effect of the great power. That is the effect of the great grace that we are talking about. I pray that this great grace and this great power of our God will rest upon us today. In Acts of Apostles chapter 4, I'm reading verse 4 and 8. Howbeit, many of them which had the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. About 5,000. I'm going to make remark on this. Let us read verse 8. In verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, brethren, if we are going to be effective in Finland, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God must descend upon us. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. This is not academic knowledge. They were unlearned. That is what people say about them. They were ignorant people, but the Spirit of God made difference in their life. When the power of God came upon them, they preached with power, they preached with conviction, and people were saved. In Acts of Apostles chapter 27, Acts of Apostles chapter 27, I'm reading verse 22 there. In verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but all of this sheep. This is what the Lord wants us to do. as a servant of God, as a child of God, that he has commissioned us to preach the gospel. We declare to our family member, none of you will perish, you will be saved. We declare to the city we are, none of you will perish, you will be saved in the name of the Lord. In verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as he has told me. In verse 41 to 44, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship around and four parts took part and remained unmovable. But the inner part was broken with the foulness of the wave, and the soldier counsel was to kill the prisoner. That is what Satan wants to do. He wants to kill the souls. He wants to destroy the souls. He wants to rob the souls. But Jesus Christ has come to give them abundant life through you and through me, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Satan did not want any man to escape hell. Satan did not want any woman to escape hell. He wants all to go to the hell that is enlarging itself. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that that which could swim should cast themselves forth into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on board and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. That is going to be our testimony. As we move from city to city, also to the land. As we move around in our own city where we are living, also to the land, in Jesus' name. The Lord desired the believer progress in preaching and winning soul through the apostle. About 3,000 souls in Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 41 were won, but in Acts of Apostles chapter 4 that was increased. It was about 5,000 souls. That account for 67% increase. So the Lord wants us to increase as we move from city to city. And as we move around within our city, the Lord wants us to increase. Earlier, they had 3,000 souls. Later, they have 5,000 souls. As God used Peter, another apostle, he can use us also to make an impact in our own time. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, with fire, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Like Simeon, Holy Ghost must be upon us, and we must have Holy Ghost revelation. For us to be effective in preaching the gospel, let us go to book of Luke chapter 2. We need Holy Ghost revelation. We need Holy Ghost revelation. We need Holy Ghost infilling. That is what will help us to be much effective. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Brethren, Holy Ghost must come upon us if we are going to be effective. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he has seen the Lord Christ. If you read about this Bible character, Simeon, everything about him is Holy Ghost. Everything, revelation of the Holy Ghost, infilling of the Holy Ghost, power of the Holy Ghost was upon him. And that is what we need to be effective in Finland. They know it is the power of Holy Ghost that will break the power of theory. It is the power of the Holy Ghost that will break the power of unbelief. It is the power of the Holy Ghost that will shatter all the walls of darkness to move to the higher level in our evangelistic outreaches. We need to pray for the Holy Ghost to descend upon us, so that we can have Holy Ghost anointing to preach the gospel. Paul and Silas prayed to jailer in Acts of Apostles chapter 16, verse 27 to 34. He jailed people. Jailer was jailing people, but was ignorant that he was caged and imprisoned by sin. We have a lot of jailers in our cities. We have a lot of jailers in our working places. We have a lot of jailers all around us, but they don't know that they themselves, they are bound. They thought they were free. This Bible character never gave up. Despite the confrontation, opposition, and rejection, what a great lesson for us today. I read a story recently, and it really touched me. You know, we sang this song all the time. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? But we need to know the background of this song as we want to pray tonight. On September 8, 1860, the same ship, Lady Eglin, Lady Eglin is the name of the ship, collided with the schooner Augusta in the water of Lake Michigan near Waukegan, Illinois. The Lady Eglin was carrying more than 300 passengers and crew all around trip sightseeing tour from Milwaukee to Chicago. Its return trip was never completed. The captain, not realizing how badly the ship was damaged, continued toward Milwaukee in the dark. About half hour later, the heavy boilers and steam engine broke through the wicking hull and the ship quickly tore apart. Most of the passengers and crew died. Only a handful reached the lifeboat. Just when the Lady Eglin took her final plunge, the captain recalled, a heavy wave took off the upper works. The cabin floated and several hundred people got onto this. An experienced swimmer and student life guy, Edward Spencer, had a rope tied to his body and time after time swam to the wave to grab the exhausted passenger. His fellow student on the other end of the rope then pulled him and defeated him to shore. Finally, having reached the limit of his strength, his body covered with scrapes and bruises, Spencer passed out. He's credited with saving 17 people, one by one, finally collapsing in utter exhaustion. It is reported that as he lay all night in the infirmary, he repeated over and over, "Did I do my best, fellow? Have I done my best?" And that is the question we need to ask ourselves. We are preaching, we are moving around city, but have we done our best for our Savior? Although he tried to resume his study, the physical and emotional toil on Spencer had been severe. Newspapers around the nation praised his deed, but he was never comfortable with the attention, the faces, and the crisis of defeating him. He has not been able to save forever. Haunted him. Spencer never completed his education, and it was almost 50 years before he returned to Efferston to talk about the wreck of the Lady Eglin. Spencer is honored by a plaque in the gymnasium of Northern Western University, but there are a couple of sad footnotes to his story. He was so badly injured that he spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. And when visited in later years, he said with tears, "Not one of those rescue ever came back and even said thank you." Though he undoubtedly did not rescue them in order to earn their gratitude, it is a sad commentary on our frequent failure in this area. In 1924, Ensign Edwin Young heard Spencer's story and published a song that draws a spiritual lesson from the incident. Young served as Dean of the School of Music at Adin Simeons University, which was founded as Abilene Baptist College in Texas. His song raises the penetrating question, "I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus?" And as I read this song to you, I want you to think about it. If you are another Spencer and you see the people drowning and people perishing, what is going to be your action and reaction? "I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree, to think of his great sacrifice at Calvary? I know my Lord expects the best from me. The hours that I've wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ so few because of all my lack of love for Jesus. I wonder if his heart is breaking too. I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior." Brethren, it's not a matter of are you preaching or you are not preaching tonight. It is a matter of have I done my best for Savior. The seed of precious life might have sown. "No longer will I stay within the valley. I will climb to mountain height above. The world is dying now for want of someone. How many are the lost that I've lifted? How many are the chain I have helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me?" Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Please, Pastor, you can take over.
Brethren, we have heard the message. If we truly are servants of Christ, and if we truly are little Christ, as the scripture have called us as Christians, You cannot hear a message like this and keep quiet. Let's commit ourselves into the hands of God. Our pastor ended with the question, have I done my best for Jesus? You have them in your neighborhood every day. You have them in your places of work, on the street, you walk past them. Beside your house, you see them. In social gatherings, you meet with them. Why not commit yourself into the hands of God this evening and tell the Lord, as it were, that the Lord empower. You know, if you look at the case of Peter and the rest of the disciples, after Jesus was arrested, out of fear, they ran. Out of fear, they disappeared. But when they had the Holy Spirit upon them, when Jesus came and asked Peter the same question you were asked today, lovest thou me more than this? Do you love the Lord more than this? I know so many of us, you know, when you look at the time you spend in your place of work, time you spend pursuing your personal dreams, especially in this period of, I mean, social media, a lot of us spend hours on social media, and yet the smallest opportunity we have, we cannot use it to reach out to those around us. Tell the Lord you are sorry for all the times you have failed to preach the gospel. You know, those days when I was a young Christian, sometimes when I enter the bus and sit beside somebody, you know, you will hear the small prompting of the Lord. Why not discuss this with this person? Why not start a discussion? Sometimes you enter and you have that prompting to stand up and minister. I know many of us here, because we're so preoccupied with other things, maybe it doesn't even cross your mind. Maybe you don't even have that prompting where the Lord touches you and tells you, look at this person. You have opened the conversation. You want to talk about other things. You talk about work. You work with them. You talk about other aspects of life. You talk about your studies. But never once have you spared time to talk about that which Jesus left for us. Remember, when he was going, the last thing he told the disciples and unto us as well is occupy till I come. Are you occupying? Remember the parable he told that a servant, a master went away and he gave his servant's talent. The Lord has given you talent. You are the type who can sing and people listen to you. You are the type who has the gift that you can convince people. You can pass a message across. You are the type who is able to lead praise and worship. You are the type, you know, who make friends very easily. So many of us today will make friends because of what we gain from them. We'll make friends because we want to use them as a link or as a means to find something. But how many of us are deliberately making friends because we want to bring them to Christ? Commit yourself into the hands of God this day. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 3, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman so that you will hear the word from me and give them warning. Give those who are perishing, give those who are sinning against the Lord, give those who are disobedient to the word of God, so that you will give them warning. And he says, if I give them warning, if you hear the word from my mouth, as we have had this evening, and you fail to give them warning, their blood will I require from your hand. In our families, they are there. Our children, our partners, our other family members, brothers, sisters, parents, how are we toiling to bring them to Christ? Or are you the type that is saying, thank God I am saved? It doesn't matter what happened to these ones. It is their problem. It is their fault. It is their issue to deal with. The Lord tonight has spoken to us. Why not lift up your voice? Look at the face of Noah. When the Lord wanted to save him, it was not him alone. I also would always remember the case of Moses. Moses was a typical example of what the heart of a soul winner should be. When the children of Israel were caught in sin, Moses cried. He cried unto God. He said, Lord, if you will not forgive them, that is what the Lord expects of us. If you will not forgive them, he said, blot my name out of the book of life. Do you have that kind of spirit? Why not commit yourself this evening and say, Lord, I've not done enough. And say, Lord, I've not done enough. A songwriter said, hold my hands, dear Lord, hold my hands. I've come a long way, Lord, but there is still a long way to go. There is a long way to go. Jesus said, look at the field. The harvest is plenteous. We find it very easy to talk about their wayward life, to talk about their excessive smoking, to talk about the excessive misbehavior in times like this. But how many times are we spared to go out and reach them with the gospel? The Lord is depending on you, some of us. You know, for years, you have been in the church. You hear the message. Even when evangelism is called in your own city, not even outside your own city, you still have an excuse not to attend. You still have, and yet you say you are a believer. If Jesus told us when he was here, he said, my meat, the only thing that is most utmost in my heart, the most important thing that I desire is to do the will of my Father. And what is that will of my Father? To save those that are lost. He said, that's the reason I came. How can you be his servant if you are not following after that route? How can you be his servant if you are not doing the same thing? He said, my meat is to seek and to save those. That's the reason I came. And on the cross of Calvary, he wept. He said, my Lord, why has thou forsaken me? The Lord forsook him because of those sinners. Would you allow them to die in their sin even after Jesus has suffered so much for them? And yet you claim you are going to meet with him. I'm sure he will look at you and say, really, do you know what you are doing? Why not open your mouth now and say, Lord, I am ready. Isaiah said, when I heard the voice of the Lord, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And the answer was, here am I, Lord, send me. The Lord is calling you this evening. The Lord is telling you, we have heard from the message. Which of those excuses is yours? Is it procrastination? Is it because of illiteracy, ignorance? Is it because, you know, you feel you are too familiar, or you are just nonchalant about it? What is your own excuse? Like we have been told in the message, the enemy, the devil, wants to keep them perpetually in that situation. He wants to hinder you. He wants to prevent you from doing that. Why not commit yourself into the hands of God this evening? We have been told that if we are going to be effective in this, perhaps that is your problem. You need the Spirit of God. Ask the Lord for his Spirit. Jesus said, told his disciples, tarry ye in Jerusalem. I have taught you how to preach. I have taught you how to evangelize. I have shown you practically how to do it. Nevertheless, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye receive that power, until ye be endued with power, because you need that power to evangelize. Open your mouth and pray and say, Lord, give me the power. Give me your Spirit. Pour it upon me, the Spirit to evangelize, the Spirit to arise and do the work of an evangelist. Why not open your mouth and begin to pray, begin to pray, begin to pray, begin to tell the Lord and say, God, I will not go unless you go with me. Remember what was said in the scripture. You know, that particular servant said, we will not go. Elisha told the sons of the prophet to go. He will meet with them. They said, no, unless you go with us, you are going to open your mouth. The same thing Moses said. Except you go with us, Lord, we will not step out of this place. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, pour your Spirit upon me. Pour your Spirit upon me. I want to be like Peter. Pour your Spirit upon me. I want to be like Paul of old. Pour your Spirit upon me. I want to be like John, who, and in the Isle of Patmos, the Lord revealed great things to come. The Lord prepared him and showed him greater things that are to come. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, I want to do this. Apostle Paul was able to finish his case. He said, I've run the race, I finished my course. He was so certain because the Spirit of God was confirming that in his soul. Are you so sure as you are now? Brethren, if we are not very careful, so many people will be denied entry into the kingdom simply because they neglected this aspect of the Lord's assignment. Remember that you cannot watch the souls that are going to hell and you refuse as a son of man. The Bible says if you refuse to give them, so it's not optional. It is mandatory for all of us that are called children of God to go out. Jesus said, I will make you not fishers of money. He didn't say, I will make you fishers of certificate. He didn't say, I will make you fishers of fame. He didn't say, I will make you fishers of friends. But I will make you fishers of men, men that will come into the kingdom. Open your mouth and say, Lord, I am here. Oh, Lord, touch me. Touch me, Lord. Pour your Spirit upon me and give me all that I need to be effective in this assignment. Those days, we were taught about different aspects and categories of evangelism, personal evangelism. I don't know how many of us have even attempted it here. And even when the corporate ones are called, you are not there. You do it not well. You are going to open your mouth. You are going to pray. Thank God there is still opportunity. Tell the Lord, I am ready. I am ready for service, Lord. I am ready to go. I am ready to go, Lord. I am ready. Wherever thou will send me, Lord, I am ready. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Send me to the lost house of those sinners out there. Oh, Lord, here am I. Give me the grace, oh God, to arise and reach out. You know, another means of evangelism is your own personal life. Those around you, what do they know you for? They know your expertise in terms of the work you do in your secular work. They see you as a fine boy, a fine woman. They see you as someone who is very well to do. They see you as someone who is crafty and who is gifted, but never knew about your relationship with God. You are going to pray this moment. You are going to tell the Lord, all the talent you have given to me, Lord, I promise to use them for evangelism. All the talent you have given to me, Lord, in whatever way I can. Oh, Lord, here am I. I make myself available. 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 Hold my hands, Lord. I make myself, commit yourself into the hands of God and say, Lord, you will go out. You know, sometimes you see others doing it. You are not moved. Some of us, you've been here for years. You are not moved. You do it not well. Ask the Lord this evening, we must all go out. The Lord expects us to go out. He said, go ye into all the world, including Finland, including everywhere you are. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. Do not be disobedient, because the Bible said that every disobedient of man, there is a recompense, there is a reward. Therefore, you are going to pray and say, Lord, help me, that this message you have had tonight will not stand against me. You will not claim you did not hear. Pastor have told us the reason they remain in their sin. He have told us why some of us are procrastinating and are not able to progress, and we have seen it. He has also told us the best way to go out, the best approach to use to be able to reach out to these people. Why not commit yourself into the hands of God and say, Lord, I will no more henceforth hold back. I'm ready to go out. Strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. Give me that inner power, that inner resolve, that determination to go out, that no matter what, Lord, I will go out. That sinners, in fact, by the grace of God, next weekend is another evangelism. And, you know, beautiful enough, it's citywide evangelism. That means you are not traveling to anywhere, it is in your city. You cannot hear a message like this, and on that day, you have an excuse. Therefore, you are going to pray and say, Lord, I make myself available. And say, Lord, create in me that inner urge. Look at the man our pastor told us about, Edward. You saw how determined he was. That compassion, that empathy he has for other people. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, create in me that inner desire. Create in me that power. Create in me, oh Lord, that thirst that cannot be quenched by anything. Create in me, I mean, the willingness and the ability to go out. Open your mouth and pray. This is revival time. The Lord is ready to revive you. Instead, if only you will humble yourself, if only you will humble yourself and seek his face, he said he will come down. He will hear your prayer. This evening, pray and say, Lord, make me another evangelist. Remember what the Lord told Paul? Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. The Lord had deposited in you all that he needs you to use to go out to reach the unreached. Why not pray and say, the Lord, I'm not going to be wasting your resources. I'm not going to be a waste in the kingdom anymore. I want to go out, Lord. I want to go out, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Instruct me, Lord. Direct my path. And as so you are going to ask the Lord, those around you, those in your family, those in your network of friends that do not know the Lord, begin to bring them one after the other. Begin to pray at this point. The Lord will give you breakthrough. The Lord will grant you utterance. That as you meet with them, you are not going there. They will not put you to shame. You are not going there to stammer. The word of God, you will preach. And as you preach to them, the Lord will touch them. And as you preach to them, the Lord will bring them to repentance. Let's commit them into the hands of God. Let's also pray and ask the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. I want to make a mark, an indelible mark indeed in the life of people. Therefore, open your mouth and pray and say, Lord, support me. And say, Lord, help me. And say, Lord, help me. And say, Lord, help me. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Jesus say, occupy till I come. Brother, sister, can you look at yourself now? And if Jesus were to stand before you and say, my servant, the assignment I give you, what is your report card? Can you present the one you have done now? Is it presentable? The level of commitment you have shown, do you think is presentable? Imagine the president calling you to come and give account of the assignment he has given to you. Tell the Lord to help you. Tell the Lord to help you. Evangelism we must do. It must even start from our homes. Evangelism we must do. Let's also commit our pastor, whom the Lord have used this evening, to pour out his word unto us. Let's pray the Lord will strengthen him. The Lord will refill him. Everything that has left him this evening, the Lord will replenish him. The Lord will refill him and the Lord will empower him. Let's begin to worship God because he has answered. Let's give him praise, honor, and adoration. More than we have requested, the Lord has done for us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and bless you because of the privilege you have given unto us once again to revisit this all-important topic. Lord, this is the most important assignment you have given to us here on earth, to go out and preach the gospel. Therefore, Lord, I pray this night, as you have ministered to us, to God, let this message continue to ring on our heart. Lord, give all of us the grace. As many of us in the past that have slumbered and have neglected this assignment, stir up our spirit. Forgive us, O Lord, for the negligence of the past. And help us, O Lord, to be effective in it in Jesus' name. As we will be marching out to God even this week to begin to put into practice that which you have communicated to us. I pray, Lord, you will grant us favor. You will go before us. You will touch the heart of the people. And you will make them susceptible and acceptable to the gospel in Jesus' name. For our pastor you have used, Lord, I pray that you replenish him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you have answered. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Can you please unmute your mic and say amen?
Amen.
Amen.